In our study of the Gospel of John, we came to the place of the woman at the well, and we looked at verse 23, 4 and 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. God, verse 24, is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And we have taken time to look at worship. Worship, the value, the worth, the esteem that we give to a human being. Worth. And when it comes to God, the value that we place upon God, his unique, wonderful, superior, magnificent character, who he is, and to give him the respect, to recognize we are not just in the presence of a judge, we're in the presence of the judge. We aren't in the presence of a king or potentate or Lord. We're in the presence of the King and Lord. Different. God, you are unique. And thus, to worship God. And worship is the exercise that we are to exercise now in the beauty of holiness. Worship is that which we are to enjoy even on such an hour, at such an hour as this, to worship God. And what do you mean? Well, to be able to thank God thoughtfully, that we can recognize his presence, honor his presence, and allow God to do a wonderful work that he has to do, because his ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. And how he has to help us, knowing us upside down and inside out, to worship you, to enjoy the wonderful fullness, freshness of who he is, to just enjoy his person. And heaven is all about worship. Angels and all, and we, to worship God, to wonderfully recognize his person, his glory. If you looked at the sun on a bright day, you'd say, wow, the sun is bright. And we recognize it. If we were to go out on the right kind of night and the right kind of darkness, we would see all the stars. And we'd recognize those stars and say, wow, there are a lot of stars. Wow. We're recognizing, giving respect, and enjoying not stars and not the sun, enjoying God for all that he is. Wow. Now, so here, in worship, in spirit and truth, reality, you need to worship God in spirit and truth. God is spirit. He's spiritual. So you have to go to FM on your radio. You can't use AM. AM, fleshly, earthly, doesn't rise up high enough. It's trying to talk about heavenly things and unable to do so. To talk about God, but we really can't. We say God, we say love, peace, joy, Merry Christmas, but we can't guess to go above, get beyond that. Otherwise, it's right down here. Doesn't go anywhere. So now, having said that, and trying to be a little more help, in the light of last week's otherness, over, if you would, to one more time, over to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. And just to remind us, worship. Worship is a wonderful thing. It's a knowing God, enjoying God. You enjoy other people. for who they are and what they have and do and are. Well, think of elevating it infinitely to God. Wow. Now, so Psalm 99, picking up again, just to get our little words that we'd like to keep in front. In verse 3, let them praise thy great and glorious, great and terrible name, for it is holy. Verse 5 again, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool. Why? Because he is holy. Going to verse 9, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. So we're going to honor worship because he's holy, holy, wonderfully, wonderfully holy. And you know, it says, not only Leviticus, but Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that isn't just a expression to say, it's a reality. A wonderful, wonderful reality to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So, God, how does that work practically to refresh my mind? Thus, God is holy, different, holy, the word separate, separated, holy, different, other than, clean, pure. God is holy, holy. He's just different, not distance. But different. God isn't holy because he's here and I'm here and he's there over in Europe. No, that's distance. He's holy because he's different. I'm here and he's here. And I'm different than he is. He's spirit. I'm not. I'm flesh and blood. And flesh and blood is here and he's spirit. God, it isn't distance, it's difference. And sin, human sin, separates, makes us unholy, makes us, using biblical words, unholy, common, profane, all of those are words to describe us and God, and making a distinction. God is holy, he's not common. We're common. He's holy, different, unique, special, one of a kind. Now, so having said that, and God's holiness, we share together, puts forth his righteousness. And God is righteous, and God's holy, wonderful person expresses itself in righteousness. And that's why we have to be justified. That's why God does what he does. To do everything God does, like we shared in Sunday school, everything God does out of forever into time must be right. All that God does must be right. And in his rightness, his holiness produces and makes for his rightness. And it is his rightness that brings to us salvation. God is right, as we went through in this morning Sunday school. God is right in saving you. He's right in dying for you. He's right in rising again for you. He's right in offering you his life. He's right, not wrong. And because he's right, he can offer you the salvation, the saving grace that he has for us. And therefore, in his righteousness, he exercises his righteous person. And thus he's able to save, wonderfully, wonderfully saved, to save us. And he's able to do a wonderful thing with his creation and take and buy back, as it were, by redemption, his little planet, the ball out here in space called Earth, to bring it back to himself in a most wonderful way. So God, what are you looking for? God, you want to, what are you doing? You're seeking to make possible a right relationship to you so that we can worship in truth, in reality. We got to be spiritual. God, we need to have a right relationship to you. You are holy. It is your holiness that offers us rightness, justification. And that rightness is found in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ that offers us your salvation, your saving grace. And so we're able to come to him, and it receives us rightly and saves us, so that we can come to you in all of your holiness, so that we can worship you and honor you and be real. I don't want to just talk, you say, well, I got to have a real understanding of being holy. That's right. Why do I want to have that? Because I want to have in my little head and my little heart, I want to enjoy him really, in truth, as my Father. I don't want that to be a mirage, a make-believe, a dream. I want it real. In worship, spirit and truth, I want to be able to come and recognize you. You said in John 4 and 23 and 24, you said the Father, Lord, you said it, the Father seeketh such to worship him. God, I want to be able to enjoy you. My Father. As a Father. Wow. Now that's wonderful, you know. It's wonderful to have all friends and people coming and going. But there's no replacing the Father. God, there's just no replacing you. And not only to say, and the privilege that we have is that we can come to you as Father in the reality, in the rightness, as a son, as a legitimate son, as a legitimate child of God, I can come before you, wow, and worship you. My Father, I can sit in your lap. I can run around this throne. God, my Father. Now, having said that, that's what God is after, and separation, remember, separation, when you think of being separate, holy, it isn't so far, it isn't so much the act of separation, it is the fact of separation. Here is the watch, if you would, and the watch is there. And holiness is not moving it here. That's the act of setting it apart. Holiness, setting it apart. I set apart the watch to go here on my wrist. That is the act, not the act, the fact of separation. Holiness is the fact that the watch is here. The watch is set apart to fulfill its design purpose, to tell time. And I have exercised its purpose and claimed it for myself. And it is holy. Holy. All kinds of watches out there. This one's holy. Separated. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You have to be holy. Now, God, you did it. You did it. Let's see how it works. If I can, over in your Bible, in the light of that, there it goes. Remember now, separation is taking something from one category and moving it into another. Taking it from common to uncommon. From unholy to holy. From profane to holiness. Now, and moving it into another category, and I'll use it just quickly for you. If you remember, you don't have to turn there, but in Ezekiel 28 and 16, I would remind you that God cast out Lucifer, son of the morning. He cast them out of his place because of sin. And he said, I'm going to separate you and make you profane. You were holy. You were a holy angel. You are now common. You are separated, profane. And that is the word used. Profane, out. I'm going to make you profane, common. You are no more set apart. I make you common. No more. And he isn't. He's the head of the unholy angels. So now, over in your Bible, Leviticus, if you would in your Bible, Leviticus, and let's see if we can't have a little exercise to see it. Because Israel was to be holy, a holy people, a holy nation. So Leviticus and chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, may I pick up, please, verse 24. Leviticus 20 and 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, God, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You were out there and you believed, and I took you from among the crowd and I separated you from the others. A new category, a new relationship. No more do I belong to the others, I belong to him, Israel. That's for Israel. Now, separated from you, from other people. Separation to God. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean and unclean. Remember, difference. Holiness involves difference. And between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated you as unclean, which I have separated from you as unclean. So what are you teaching? Here's the different foods they ate and the clothes they wore and how they wore them, things they did and didn't do, birds and fish and everything. And what are you doing? God's trying to teach them that they are holy. They're different. They need to understand they aren't in the same category as the unclean, as the common, as the nations are. They're a holy nation. And they ought to understand they are not in the same category as the common. He's made them holy. Over, if you would, please, in verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me. Why? For I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you, from other people. What for? That you should be mine. You're out here with everyone, and I bring you back in here, and my watch is separated. Israel, separated. They're no more out there. No more. He brought them in to himself, for himself. They're holy. Holy. Hang on to that. Verse 26, you should be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Now, having said that and keeping that, over to chapter 20, verse 7. Chapter 20 and verse 7. Therefore, sanctify, set yourself apart, sanctify, be holy. Be holy, sanctify, set apart, separate. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Separate yourself to be separated. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. Verse 8, I am the Lord which sanctifies you. So you have a unique personal relationship to me, and you need to exercise that relationship. You are to sanctify yourself. You are no more out there. You belong to God. You are holy. You are set apart for God's wonderful fellowship to know and honor him. And thus, Yahweh is to be sanctified, verse 8, intensively. You do so with great energy. Roll up your sleeves and set yourself apart. You are privileged. You are privileged to be a son. Then act like one. Behave like one. Live like one. Live like a son. Be one. Intense. Now, having said that, Exodus chapter 29. In Exodus chapter 29, may I pick up, please, in verse 37. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, there's your word, make it holy. It shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Whatever touches that holy altar is holy, holy. And verse 38, Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs, etc. Now skipping down, if I can, to verse 42. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout all your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you and speak there unto you. Fellowship, unique worship. Verse 43. There I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified, set apart by my glory. I'm going to go, and this is the place where I am. So when you come to the tabernacle, you're going to come to God. When you come to God and get to God, then that is like the Moses, the regular old bush. But on this day, God is using the bush, and Moses, the place where your feet stand is on what? Holy ground. Because God is there. God is in the tabernacle. You come there, you'll be holy. You can't come where God is. You are obligated to God. When you bring God in, you must be holy. Everything that touches God's person or God's work is holy. That's why you read holy, holy dishes, the holy bread, holy altar. Everything's holy. God's there. When God's gone, it isn't holy. Thus, if I may, in verse 44, and I will sanctify, set apart the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will be sanctified, set apart. Also, sanctify also both Aaron and his sons, to minister to me in the priest's office. So not only is the tabernacle, the priest, verse 45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. I'll be their God. And we'll pick it up. Verse 46, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Why? That I may dwell among them I am the Lord their God. Where I put them in a place where I and they could come together, and they, my holiness, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. They are going to be a holy people, so related to me, of all the different watches out here. This watch has special care. It's in a special place. I protect it. I make it work. It's to fulfill the purpose that it was made for. You were made for God to fulfill the purpose. And when we are holy, we're looking for God to outwork his wonderful will in our life. Be holy, for I am holy.
And God's going to do it. That's what you're looking for. You're set apart for God to be God and outwork His good plan and will, which involves His holiness. Now, in the light of that, verse 46, and they shall know that I am the Lord thy God, as I read. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, this is a unique, personal, wonderful relationship to God. A wonderful being set apart for God, wonderfully set apart for God. Leviticus chapter 10, back again if you would. Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10, Israel, chapter 10, Leviticus, verse 10. I'll even read verse 9, a little context. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. You'll die. That shows you. And it shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations. And that ye may put difference, holy, sanctify, you may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, so that as you make a distinction between animals, fishes, bugs, you'll make a distinction between you and the other people, the Phoenicians and the Cyrenians and the Philistines and all of them. You'll make a distinction. You are holy. You are mine. You are set apart. Chapter 11. Leviticus, chapter 11, and in verse 44, you'll remember. For I am the Lord, 11 and 44, Leviticus. For I am the Lord your God, shall therefore sanctify yourselves. How can we do that? Because the watch is supposed to be the watch. And when it goes over here, then I would tell the watch, be sanctified. Be sanctified. And the watch looks back at me and says, I'll be sanctified. That means I'm going to function. What is my function? I'm not to be God. I'm to be a clock, a watch, and to tell time. I'm going to function as I was designed. I was intended to for purpose. I was intended to tell time. God says, sanctify yourself. You are set apart for me. For me. Now hang on to that. And thus, in chapter 11, verse 44 again, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Why not? Verse 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt. What for? To be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy. Why? For I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowls, and of every living creature that moveth on the waters, and every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten, a unique and wonderful relationship, to exercise that relationship. You are to be a holy, holy people. And they were to go, remember, to Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai, when they came, they got there, and they were to set apart themselves. Because that mountain, God was on top of that mountain, and that mountain became holy. And they had to put a ring around it so that not even a donkey could cross it and live. Moses could, but no one else, as it were. It was holy and sanctified. Wow. Wonderfully sanctified. And when God was in the camp, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 23, you might as well turn there for the sake of it. Deuteronomy chapter 23, wonderful section, just to show you the practicality of it, the wonder of it. Chapter 23, And if I can, oh, in verse 12, 23, 12. Remember now, they're in the camp. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, and he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp clean again. And thou shalt have a place also, without the camp, outside of the encampment, whether thou shalt go forth abroad. And there, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, remember one end for one thing and the other for the other, for defense and for work. And it shall be when thou shalt ease thyself abroad that thou shalt dig therewith and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. In other words, you have to use the restroom. When you use the restroom, make sure you go to the bathroom out there. Don't go to the bathroom in here. Go to the bathroom out there. When you go to the bathroom out there, take your shovel, dig a pit, and I don't have to explain the rest of it to you. And you do it, and that's what you do. And then make sure you cover it. Make sure you cover it. Now why? Now that's a good thing to do anyway, but why? Verse 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. You'll have victory. Therefore shall thy camp, since God is there and God is going to provide, thy camp shall be holy, uncommon, not profane. It shall be set apart, holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Not in the ground, in an attitude on how you're approaching it. Not whether how deep you buried something. It's what is your attitude to this whole business of sanitation and keeping it clean, with my understanding my presence, I don't want to see that. Do you have the right attitude to that? I'm going to look inside your heart, as it were. I want to see how you feel about what I just told you. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, so God, when you set it apart, when it touches anything, that's right, touches anything. Over to chapter 7 of Joshua. In chapter 7, you'll remember Achan, and in the process of all of that, Joshua chapter 7, and in verse 13, up, sanctify the people, set them apart, be holy, and say, sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, you are holy, against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing, a curse devoted to destruction. Remember now, everything, when you go into victory, all that you take, Israel takes of the enemy, the animals, the war, all of that becomes set apart for me, said God. When you touch it, I touch it, said God. It's all holy. And all those animals are holy. And all those people are holy. And thus the word is translated accursed. A curse. They're devoted. They belong to God. One way or the other, they belong to God. And thus, verse 13 again. Verse 14. And in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to their families, etc. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. So in other words, we're going to find the problem. And we're going to go inch by inch, man by man, we're going to find the Achan, actually. Verse 15, it shall be
that he that is taken with the accursed thing, devoted. I told you, all the things that you get when you go into that land belong to me. They're made holy. Every loaf of bread, everything you find in that place is now mine. Mine. You took it on my behalf. It's all mine. So it's holy. I'll read it now. And in verse 15, it should be that the what is taken with the cursed thing should be burnt with fire. Verse 15. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and their tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, etc., skipping down to verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonish garment, I saw a wonderful set of clothes, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, of 50 shekels of weight. I saw money and clothing. Then I covered them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And therefore, it is all belong to God. It doesn't belong to Achan. It belongs to God. Let me do another way that may help you. If you're saved, if you're really saved, you belong to God. Yes or no? For God's will, what God wants, and how God wants it, and when God wants it, so that you know that all things work together for good. So you can do it. Why? Why? Because you're set apart for God. And you know you're set apart. And that's how you live. You live a separated life. That means you're holy. You're going to practice trusting God, looking to God, counting on God. God, you are not out there. You might have had a great family, but you get saved. And God separated you from them. He separated you and put you out there. You're holy, holy, different. If any man love father, mother more than me, he cannot what? Cannot be my disciple. We can't be there. God does something wonderful when he saves us. He isn't saving the world. He's saving whosoever's that believe. And he takes them and he claims them for himself. And thus, what's he claim us for? For God's will. Achan, what did you understand? God had given victory over the Babylonians and the enemy and all that stuff. God had given victory. And that victory is your victory. It's God's victory, and you enjoy the spoil of it. But don't claim it and take it as if you need to take it. It is already yours for a believer. God has already given you the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, hadn't he? Now, you don't need to claim that and be proudly running around. That victory belongs to all the believers. That victory belongs to the church. And I just, God, we're part of it. God, you're wonderfully healthy. Perfectly healthy. And in Christ, we are perfectly healthy. It's impossible to get sick. It's impossible to have a disease. It's impossible to die. Isn't it? You can't die. Oh, I know you physically can. No question. You put my heart in a jar and I'm not much good, you know. Wow. But you can't take my relationship to God as a person. You can't touch that. You couldn't touch that. That's eternal life. That's my life, God. That's holy. It's holy. you see. And as you know, looking to God, over if you would please. I hope you got a little bit. It's 1 Corinthians. If you're just going, I'm going to come to church and worship, you got to know what you're doing. Why can you worship? How do you worship? What makes you so special? Christ does. First, that's why the Corinthians, you know it. We'll look at it very quickly. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 2. Now unto the church, the assembled body of believers that belong to God, which is located at Corinth, in them that are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, being called to be saints, with all that in every place, with everyone else, called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So the church is set apart. The church believers in Corinth were sanctified. They were holy, holy. And they were holy because God had made them holy in Christ. Verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. What did you do, God? You made Jesus Christ for us, to us, wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. You made him. So my sanctification is found in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is holy. If I can. The Lord Jesus Christ, here I am. And the Lord Jesus Christ is holy. And so when I receive him as my Savior, his presence makes my presence set apart. And God said, I claimed it. I claimed you. I died on the cross for you. And I claimed you when you understood that I died for your sin. And you received me as your Savior. I make you set apart. In fact, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. In fact, I became a son. And so in that wonderful place, and to boot, God, you're going to take, in Christ, you're going to take me and put me in Christ. Christ in me, me in Christ, sanctified. If it touches me, it's holy. Whatever it is. A bird, a duck. If I'm there, that's holy. It's mine. The rest is common. But I set apart in the person of Jesus Christ. I sanctify. Over if you would. Oh, chapter 6, will you right here? Why not? Chapter 6, quickly. You get the idea. Chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. What know you not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you are not your own, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. God is God. You've made this little heart your home. That's right. The temple of the Holy God, a holy God, the Holy Ghost. God, there I am. Here I am. I'm set apart for you, God. Just like the watch is set apart, I'm set apart. You're set apart. If you believe. And God, here we are. So we can have a unique, personal, practical, profitable relationship to you that is wonderful. Worship. Worship. The wonder of worship. Wow. You won't get it on television, whatever. You aren't going to get that. It's when you come to God, when we assemble together. That's when you have a sense. You won't find it out there if you're watching Oprah Faces Life or something. You aren't going to find it there. No, you only find it when you coming together to look for it. God. And God, and it's going to be found. God's wonderful, wonderful person. And that's what it's all about. Wow. Over, if you would, in your Bible. Oh, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And if I can, 1 Peter chapter 1, you know. Picking up, if I may. In verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. How? Through, by means of sanctification, being set apart of by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God sets the believing a heart, places them in the body of Christ, baptism, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conversation. You are holy. You are set apart. Whether you're going to the bedroom, the bathroom, you go to work, you go to wherever, you belong to me. You're set apart. You're bought with a price. You can't go anywhere. That's why you can grieve me, Ephesians 4. Quench me, because you aren't honoring me. You need to honor me wherever you are. Verse 16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Wonderful God. And you know chapter 3. Chapter 3, we were there. Verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Why not? But what are we going to do? Sanctify, set apart the Lord God, where? In your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, to be able to give an answer to everyone. I'm going to set God apart. And you can say, listen, you say, boy, you're a sinner, you're all the, I'm all of those things and much more. But you know, if Christ wasn't my Savior, all of those things are true. But you know, I have a wonderful Savior, and so do you, I hope. And I'm holy. I'm set apart. I'm to be sanctified. I'm to sanctify God's wonderful person in my life. I'm to sanctify the wonderful person of God in whose presence I belong. I belong there. I belong. Holy. I'm holy. You say, well, you know, nobody. No, I know I'm nobody. But it isn't a question of me. I didn't make it. God makes things holy. You can't have holiness without God. God, in Christ, in the heart, makes you holy. Wonderfully, wonderfully holy. Set apart. Set apart in a wonderful way. So what? So now we're going to look to you, God, and we're going to thank you for making us, setting us apart, new creatures in Christ. And Christ in us, God, makes us holy. We're holy. We belong to you. So if whatever it's going to be, but you can claim me, you can take me, you persecute me, you could bury me, you could put me in prison, you could beat me up, do whatever you want. But I'm still holy. Christ makes me holy. So to touch you, I'll use another way that you're familiar with, Old Testament. God said, if you touch Israel, and then he gives you a unique way to how sensitive God is about Israel over there. If you touch me, you touch the apple of mine eye. That's the little black in the middle of your eye. If you touch Israel, you touch my eye. Now, I'll bet you, if I went around now, washed my hand, and touched your eye, Would you allow me to touch the middle of your eye? Wouldn't you react to it? Wouldn't you do it? Instinctively, don't you do it? God said, you're like that. You're holy ground. Live like that. Be holy, I'm holy. Honor me. You aren't alone. They're all common. Work, home, school, play, they're out there everywhere, family. But you're set apart. Live like that. Live like that. Live it. Be sanctified. You have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And we want to practice that relationship, which is worship. I'm valuing, honoring, exercising God's magnificent person to be God. And if there's ever a time, we certainly are going to qualify for one of those times in history, aren't we? Wow. Our Father and God, set apart it all. God, we'll have to leave it with you, God. Thank you for your word, your work, God, your grace, your mercy. God, it's a wonderful thing. We just don't appreciate it. We don't even want to understand it most of the time. Because then we're just going to have to be different. Different in a wonderful way. To be able to allow you to be our wonderful Savior and God. Morning, noon, and night. School, work, home, play. Easy, hard, much, little. God, there you are. And here we are. Safely, safely, wonderfully belonging to you in a unique relationship provided in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Perhaps we could sing 816, the first and last stanza.